Earth, sky.
The one piece of the puzzle that I think we do understand well is that as the atmosphere warms, it can hold more water, and thus the water in the atmosphere increases with warming.
You're listening to Frank Wentz, director of the company Remote Sensing Systems in Santa Rosa, California, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Predicting how our warming climate will change rainfall patterns around the world is extremely complicated, said Wentz. He uses satellites to measure changes in water in Earth's atmosphere over decades, not just the rain and clouds you can see, but the invisible vapor that comprises 99% of the water in our atmosphere. Wentz talked with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar about the complex puzzle of how climate change affects rainfall.
Mr. Wentz, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
It's nice to be here.
Now, what are the most important elements that go into studying the connection of greenhouse gases that warm the planet and changes to rainfall patterns? And in other words, in answering the question of your study of how much more rain will global warming bring?
Well, the one piece of the puzzle that I think we do understand well is that as the atmosphere warms, it can hold more water, and thus the water in the atmosphere increases with warming. Now, the more difficult question is how much of this additional water is going to turn into rain. If there were no changes in the motion of the air and atmospheric circulation, then the rain would increase at the same rate as the total water, which we think we know fairly well to be about 7% per degree warming. However, most climate models predict that the atmospheric circulation slows down. The overturn of the atmosphere doesn't occur as quickly. And thus what you end up with is a more wet but stagnant atmosphere. And according to the climate models, the rain is going to increase at a considerably slower rate, about one-third of what the total water in the atmosphere increases by. But that said, the climate models are trying to model a very complicated process, but my focus really is on the satellite measurements themselves rather than trying to theoretically model the Earth's response to various forcings like increasing greenhouse gases, aerosols, and varying solar radiation.
What did you mean by this moisture that is this added moisture that's going into the atmosphere?
Well, you just sort of go over it again. It's sort of like in the tropics. When you go in the tropics, the air is very warm and you can actually feel the increased humidity. So we all agree, and the scientists and the measurements all agree in the sense that we really see this increased moisture in the atmosphere as the air warms. But just because there's more water in the atmosphere doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be that much more rain, because the rainfall is also determined by the air circulation. It's sort of like a conveyor belt. And even though the packets on the conveyor belt contain more water, if the conveyor belt slows down, then there'll be less rain.
And this time series that you referred to, you're talking about measurements made by satellites, right?
That's right. There's AQUA. Flies a microwave radiometer called AMSR-E. And the way this radiometer works is it actually listens to the natural emission of microwaves from the Earth. And by measuring these microwaves, you can very accurately measure water vapor in the atmosphere. And I didn't say it, but almost all the water in the atmosphere, 99% of the water in the atmosphere, is water vapor. It's invisible. You don't see it when you look up at the sky. You look up the sky, you see clouds and rain. But the clouds and rain are only about 1% of the total water. Almost all the water is in terms of this vapor. And the microwaves can measure the vapor very, very well, very precisely. We use about 10 different satellites, and we piece them all together starting back in the 1980s until today to generate these 25 and 30-year time series of water vapor and rainfall.
And you mentioned that Aqua is just one of a whole fleet of instruments out there in space right now that are looking at what's happening to changes on Earth. How do the measurements by Aqua fit into the larger picture of studying the effects of global warming on precipitation?
Because there's such a close relationship between warming and the increase in water, by measuring the increase in water, you can then determine warming. And actually, surprisingly, as it turns out, that the measurement of water is more accurate than direct measurements of temperature. It's what engineers call a signal-to-noise ratio. And the signal-to-noise ratio for the water measurement is about 7 times higher than the signal-to-noise ratio of the direct temperature measurement that other satellites measure. So we're able to get a more accurate measure of global warming by using the microwave instruments that are on Aqua and also on other satellites. And in fact, back in the 90s, some of the other satellites that measure temperature seemed to suggest that there was no warming. And we looked at the microwave measurements of water and found that the water in the atmosphere was increasing at a good rate, which was in complete disagreement with the direct temperature measurements. And we later found that the direct temperature measurements were flawed in the way they were processed, and that was then later corrected. But the measurement of water was one of the first indications that the atmosphere was indeed warming at a fairly hefty rate.
Now, I believe that you may be referring to your study that came out a few years ago and published in the journal Science that looked at the data from the special sensor microwave imager that flies aboard Navy, I believe it's Navy satellites.
Yeah, it's a defense satellite. And that's right. The first one of those SSMIs was flown in 1987. And we published a paper sometime I think it was 1998, 1999, where we pieced together about 20 years or 15 years, I guess, at that point of that instrument. And it definitely showed that there was an appreciable moistening of the planet. And that flew right in the face of some other analyses that were saying that the temperature of the atmosphere was not increasing. And so that put the spotlight on the temperature data, and looking at that more carefully, we found a basic flaw in the way that the temperature data had been processed. And once that flaw was corrected, then both the temperature and the increasing moisture agreed as the theory predicts. And that theory is called Clausius-Clapeyron, and it's basically warm air holds more water, and every degree the air increases, it can hold 7% more water.
You've written that that the changes in rainfall across the globe may be one of the most serious risks from climate change. Tell us more about what you meant by that.
Well, yeah, I think it's sort of obvious. I mean, you have world food production, and our world food production, depends critically on rainfall. And we need to know where it will rain and how much rain there's going to be. And if these rain patterns begin to change and intensify, then we need to adapt quickly. We need to adapt our agriculture and crop selections and to match with the new rain patterns. And also there's some very heavily populated regions on the planet, such as Bangladesh, that are already plagued with flooding. And a significant increase in rainfall in these areas would really cause some problems.
What are some of the important highlights that you would want people to walk away with in thinking about this instrument on Aqua as it's looking at precipitation in the atmosphere?
Well, Aqua is the AMSR is an incredible instrument. It has been able to tell us a lot about precipitation patterns. It went up in 2002, so we now have was about 9 years of data. It's very accurate. The Japanese built a very nice instrument for us. But besides this precipitation, it's provided through cloud sea surface temperature. That's the ability to actually measure the temperature of the ocean through clouds, winds on the ocean, snow cover. It's just been a real boon for scientists and climate studies. And we're also looking forward to a continuation. There's a second AMSR that the Japanese are going to be launching on their GCOM-W satellite, and that's scheduled to be launched later this year. And then NASA is putting another follow-on mission called the Global Precipitation Mission, which is scheduled for launch in 2013, which will continue the AQUA AMSR legacy.
What's the most important thing you want people today to know about global warming and rainfall?
Okay. Well, maybe for your audience, I don't need to say this, but I'll say it anyway, and that is that global warming is real. It's not a hoax. However, one should not expect a perfectly steady increase in temperature. Now, we've already seen in the 1990s that there was a relatively large amount of warming and moistening, while this last decade, 2000-2010, the warming trends have decreased some. But this type of variability is to be expected. But having said that, I think we also have to acknowledge that the Earth is an extremely complex system to predict, and as I said, particularly with respect to rainfall as opposed to simply predicting overall warming. And just the knowledge that we can expect a change should help us in planning. We sort of have to, you know, plan to be adaptive and be ready to, change agricultural plans as we see these things play out.
You've been listening to Frank Wentz, director of the company Remote Sensing Systems in Santa Rosa, California. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. Our thanks today to NASA's AQUA mission, improving our knowledge of our home planet through satellite observations. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.